Now, each of you has received a copy of the word that was given a few weeks ago. And just want you to glaze over that and read it with me. Say, soak in the revelation, knowledge, as it comes forth from among us. You are all receiving. If you will only open your ears to hear. I am speaking to all of you. These gifts are meant for my maturing bride. They must manifest in my church for it to move forward. My spirit comes down from heaven as an all-consuming fire. For waiting for you, my bride. Be aware I am waiting. Nothing can be accomplished without my willingness to receive. Fire will consume the humble. Fire will consume the humble. Fire will consume me. There are enough pages to contain what is coming next. The pen will not write fast enough. So you all must be ready to listen and hear. My instructions will be clear. Heaven and earth will be one. I repeat. Heaven and earth will be united. You must be ready. The world is about to change. It cannot continue the way it is. There must be a change. Will you be willing to be a part of that change? Time as you know it is running short. No time to sit back and rest on the same old traditions. Stretch. Stretch and stretch your faith. Jump in with both feet. I am here to catch you. The fall may be long, but I am here to catch you. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is really dead. Faith is not a wish list. Faith is not a pipeline. Faith is my dad and his work. Took me from the garden to Calvary. Step out of the boat and go to the other side. I will be there for you with every step. I have always been there, but I have done all I am going to do. Your faith has got to be put into action. Step out. Go forward. Without faith, works is dead. As I was pressed this week, in fact, the press came last week, and I make copies for you, because put it on your Bible. You need to go over this. This is a word that's for you. It's not a word just for me. It's not a word to be taken lightly. It is to be taken from the scriptures and confirmed. So this week, he was pressing me. That scripture that I gave you is actually Nehemiah chapter 9, I believe, where it says, the Israelites confess their sins and their father's sins. So you can choose to go over that as the Lord leads you. But I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I press the reality of tasting that the Lord is good. It's got to be personal. It can't be somebody else eating a nice big dish and telling you how wonderful that dish is and not giving you a bite. Catching on? It's got to be you eating it. It's got to be you tasting it. It's got to be you enjoying it. Verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God. How many of you have had some rejection by men or men and women? Thank you. So you all qualify. But what? Chosen by? Chosen by? Chosen by? So tell your neighbor, you're chosen just as me. Hallelujah. And precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Notice again, it's built up into a house or a temple. Acceptable to whom? Yeah. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So, now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now, some people get very upset with that verse because they don't believe that some are destined to fall. They want to save everybody. Was Judas destined to fall? Yes. Did he have signs and wonders following him? Did he have miracles when he prayed? But did he really know the Lord?
No.
Who did he really know?
He had his own agenda.
Himself. He had his own agenda. He wanted the Romans out of that country. And he wanted Jesus to do what he wanted. That's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. See, when you look at what Jesus had to put up with, there was a devil right in his
midst.
Yeah. Why? Because there was a destiny for this individual. If you look at the scripture, you'll find that it says, one of mine is a demon or devil. You say, well, you mean the devil comes to church? He loves church. Yeah. Why would he love church? Because he's religious. He is so holy in his own eyes that he is perfect in everything that he does and conceives. How many know somebody like that? Just one. Okay. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just asking you to take a good look at those who think and say certain things, but then their actions show that they're not quite with the picture. See, who is your stone? Who is your living stone? It's Jesus. Was he persecuted? Yeah. Are you persecuted? What are you looking at when you say, oh my God, they're all against me? You're looking at the Lord. He goes to his own town. He preaches one little message. I am the anointed one. He quotes the word. And they all want to throw him over a cliff. And it says very clearly, couldn't hardly do any miracles there because of their unbelief. There are some that cannot put up with you because of the love of Christ in you. I should have heard ouch. Okay? Verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You know, sometimes to do the right thing is going to cost you persecution. And it's going to bring pressure on you. And you do it by choice, not because it's an emotional high. But sometimes there are some who will try to manipulate and push your buttons. And your best prayer is to, again, go into praise and worship. That's your first line of defense. Secondly, set them free. Just like what it said to do in Nehemiah chapter 9. Set them free. Ask God to forgive those who came before you. And as you do, the Holy Spirit will manifest when you least expect it. There are times that you're going to wait and wait and wait for a miracle. And like I had a call this week, and one person said to me, "Wow, I finally got a phone call." Yeah. And it was a joyful space for this individual. You say, well, you know, how come and why did it take so long? I don't have an answer for that. But I do know this. While you are in a focused space of thanking God for his plan to unfold in those that you love, even though they may not love you at the moment, they may be full of anxiety and pressure and cause you to be weeping sometimes. How many have ever had some insults thrown at them? Thank you. When those insults come, it's painful. Anybody that says it doesn't hurt, come on. In case you forgot, you're still living in an earth suit. Amen? Verse 13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Try it on. Say, God's will,
God's will
is for me to continue doing good.
It will silence the ignorant
and all of their blabbering.
It will silence it.
And I'll have peace in my heart. Verse 16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king. Submit yourselves to your master with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Now, you might think that was a misprint. You want me to humble myself to a ugly boss or an ugly manager? How many have ever had that kind of a relationship? And you say, oh my God, I'd love to give him a kick where it hurts. But you know what? That's not what the scripture says to do. Even if they're harsh. Verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Take a good look at this word because it's important. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, This is commendable before God. To this you were called. Now you know, wait a minute. This is a misprint. Why should I be called to be misused or abused or tormented or hurt? Scripture verse 21, very important. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Mary Jo?
Yes.
That you should follow in his steps. Watch 22. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who is just judge or justly judged. Judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul, or bishop of your soul. Healing comes in the midst of tragedy sometimes. Healing comes when you've finally given up and given it all to him. The bishop of your soul, the overseer of your soul, is not a person. It's the Lord. Yes, I can be of assistance. Mine are limited abilities. His, by his Spirit, are unlimited. There are times that you're going to feel so alone and so left out of the picture that you'll think that, you know, like you're a zero and they took the circle out and they rubbed it away and there's nothing left. Those are the times that you cry out the name of Jesus. There were times when my heart would break and I'd say, God, I can't put one foot in front of the other. It was all designed for me to have grace for those who are falling apart. It was designed so that I could be a help to those who are hurting. Was it always pleasant? No. Was there a relief at some point? Yes. Did it take time? Yes. Do I have patience for those who are falling apart? Yes. How long does it take? As long as it takes. Because you see, none of us know the inside of the broken. You don't. You can't possibly conceive how deep those scars could be. And those you judge and condemn. Matthew 18 says if you judge and condemn, it's going to fall back on you. You don't want to do that. Romans chapter 2. Don't judge, don't condemn, because it's going to identify the sin that's in you. Don't do it. If you need help, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're the comforter, you're the counselor, you're the helper. I need help right now. And you cry out to him. Don't be afraid to cry out. Close your eyes, put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I'm expecting a lot more from you.
I'm reminding myself
that you are a comforter.
You are a counselor.
And I do have ears.
Use them wisely.
Put in the verses
of your word
to put me back into right standing with God.
Whatever I need,
bring it to pass.
Give me the grace that I need.
Give me the comfort that I need.
And the counsel to help others.
Not just to be focused on me.
But to be ready to help.
In times of their hurts.
Amen?
And amen.